김하우씨.
헬로, this is Tetsuo.
아, Tetsuo.
한국어?
Yes.
Yeah, you're sleeping?
I am dreaming now.
I'm dreaming.
I'm dreaming live.
Yeah, this is now internet.
Ah, very good. Wow.
So well, now you are in Tokyo.
I am in Tokyo.
Mm-hmm. Could you explain where you are?
I am in the children's castle.
Ah, 子供の城.
子供の城.
Uh-huh.
子供の城 has a hotel.
Ah, really?
As well as many wonderful other things.
Uh-huh.
And so this is a discovery to be in the middle of this great city.
Yeah.
And to be such a cheap hotel.
It's oh, really?
Good. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. It's across the Shibuya station.
Yes. Very close to Omotesando.
Uh-huh.
Almost directly across the street from Spiral.
Oh, yeah.
So.
So, this time, what do you plan to do?
Well, I was planning to shoot some video.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not happening anymore, so I have no plans. I have free time, and it was very nice tonight to walk under the full moon.
Very good.
In the city without any specific necessity.
Uh-huh. And you you came from Shanghai?
I came from Shanghai, which is also very interesting because both Shanghai and Tokyo
mm-hmm.
are great cities of the world, so close together.
Uh-huh. Yeah, last time you gave me beautiful catalog, Jiangang.
Ah, yes.
Yes. Could you explain a little bit about your commitment to this museum project, I think?
Well, so, yes. It all began really with projects of artists exchanging between Vancouver and Asia.
Mm-hmm.
So, Japan, Indonesia, Philippines, so on, and China.
Mm.
And the artists from Shanghai, a very interesting group, we started doing projects together about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's now become quite regular and some projects quite big, quite successful.
Mm.
So we decided in Vancouver to try and make a permanent center to host these exchanges and work with other organizations to be a center for communication, for networking, a place where people can meet, can talk, and can find out more about contemporary art, not only in China, but all over Asia, and in fact, all over the world.
Yeah.
So that's why I went to Shanghai this time. It was for the opening of the Shanghai Biennale of Contemporary Art. And this is the third Biennale.
Yeah.
And it was very exciting because it was the first Shanghai Biennale to include artists from outside the country.
Yeah.
And really it was the first international show of contemporary art ever to take place in China. The first government-sponsored show, certainly, since Tiananmen Square.
Uh-huh.
There was an exhibition in 1989 called China Avant-Garde, which was very, very strong, very controversial.
Yeah.
And there has not been an official exhibition since then. That's 11 years.
Mm.
So this was an important breakthrough, this exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for me, I think what was most exciting was not the fact that artists were included from outside China, but that the art from inside China is so strong.
Mm-hmm.
Not only were there many great works in this exhibition, but around the city of Shanghai, there were many other exhibitions, unofficial shows,
mm-hmm.
alternative exhibitions,
mm-hmm.
And commercial exhibitions as well, that were showing the work of literally of hundreds of contemporary artists from China.
Mm-hmm.
So there really is a boom now in artistic experiment
mm-hmm.
taking place in Shanghai and all over China.
Uh-huh.
Which is sometimes very exciting and provocative work.
Mm-hmm.
So, in a way, the Biennale was made a success by the fact of all these other exhibitions.
Uh-huh.
And they were all good. One exhibition in particular, which had two names. Well, the Chinese name was called Uncooperative Attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And the English name
yeah.
was Fuck Off. And the catalog is a very nice black book.
Mm-hmm.
It says Fuck Off on the cover.
Oh.
Very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And in this show, which took place in an old factory warehouse,
mm.
Which is normally artist studios,
mm-hmm.
great big space,
mm-hmm.
kind of like Seibukoro in Kyoto,
mm.
big space.
I see.
And there was a lot of very risky art mm-hmm. in this show.
Mm.
For example, one artist had locked himself in a room
mm.
in the attic.
Mm-hmm.
And is starving himself.
Mm.
You cannot see the artist except on a video monitor.
Uh-huh.
When we were there, he was already 4 or 5 days
mm.
into it.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of work that used meat.
Mm.
There was a large chair, for example, that you could sit in
uh-huh.
with great big cushions,
mm.
bright red.
Mm.
But what it doesn't tell you is that the cushions, the whole chair,
mm.
is stuffed with raw meat.
It's to smell.
It starts to smell now.
Mm.
There was a horse,
mm.
The skin of a horse, which had been sewn together
mm.
and inflated with air.
Oh.
So it was a very strange shape.
Mm.
Quite menacing. There were Chinese landscape paintings, beautifully painted,
mm.
on large pieces of pork fat,
mm-hmm.
also
okay.
starting to smell.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a great painting on the floor
mm.
That was bright red.
Uh-huh.
Looks like a big bright red painting, but in fact, it also mm. is all made of meat.
Really?
So meat was a very popular theme. And some of these artists come from Shanghai.
Yeah.
From Beijing.
Beijing.
And some because of the political atmosphere
mm.
in Beijing,
mm.
artists have really been pushing the limits.
Mm-hmm.
The most celebrated or famous action of the last year
mm.
was by artists or a group of artists who show human body parts
mm-hmm.
or a human corpse, which was shown on a bed of ice for one day.
Really? So where did they get from?
From a morgue
mm.
or from some connections they have with a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
It's not entirely clear.
Oh.
But there have been a couple examples of human body parts being used in art installations.
Which parts?
Well, I saw one piece illustrated, which was an arm, a human arm, with the meat on and everything, hanging from the ceiling, and holding onto a rope. And then the rope comes down to the floor and covers coils all around the floor.
Oh, really?
And that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is quite shocking.
Yeah.
And raises a number of interesting problems.
This kind of experiment to arts now in the most most strong in Shanghai than other cities.
Well,
in China?
The most strong experiments are in Beijing.
Beijing.
And Shanghai is more interested in art, not so controversial, but abstract painting and also any installation works.
Mm-hmm.
The top prize of the Biennale was given to Mr. Huang Yongping, who is from Xiamen, Amoy.
Uh-huh.
Now living in Paris for many years.
I see.
And his piece, you would love, is a large molded replica of the Hong Kong Shanghai Bank building, from the famous Bund, on the which is the colonial main street along the river. And this famous icon of colonialism, he has reproduced in a model that is about 4 meters high.
4 meters high.
And about 6 meters by 6 meters square.
Mm.
The model is entirely made of wet sand, which has been pressed together. So that as the sand dries over the course of the exhibition, the bank will crumble into a pile of sand. So he called this, of course, Sandbank.
Sandbank.
and this was winning a prize.
I see. So you're planning to build up building of the art center in Vancouver of China? China and the Asian arts? What are now in, it is in already in the process of construction?
Well, no, we have a space that is open in Vancouver, but it's not sure that we will actually make a museum or a big building. Maybe one day this will happen. But for the moment, it's more interesting, more exciting to work with projects that can take place in different spaces, maybe on the street, maybe in an old factory, maybe in several cities at once, working with different organizations.
I see.
So that our project, which we call Senta A, which can be A for Asia, or for art, or for anything, or for anarchy.
Maybe. Autonomy?
Exactly. And so it becomes really a center for communication, exchange, and action. And not an old-fashioned museum.
Yeah, I think it's much more interesting than the building museum as a architecture. I think it's already you have established a network, right?
Right.
Yeah. And already it works, working on, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
But we do have a very good relationship with the Simon Fraser University. So it can be kind of have some academic aspect as well. And it's very important for Western universities to change the curriculum to include, you know, more Asian studies, history of modernism in Asia, and also contemporary culture. So we hope to affect that sort of change as well. Could be very interesting.
I see. So I want to another question.
Yes.
To ask you. I think you are one of the earliest, earliest person to have experiment in networks, so-called network art or media art or whatever. So today, almost the end of 2000. So what is your plan to do in this area? Network or media and that you have been initiating in the 70s. So already 30 years passed.
Right.
Yeah. So what is your feeling now?
Well, a lot has happened in the last 30 years.
Mm.
And especially in the last 10 years, the network has become very strong because, of course, now we have the internet, which is a very powerful tool. And because of increase in global communications, art world is no longer dominated by European and American interests. But many interesting new ideas about art and new ideas about the history of art are coming from places like the middle of Africa, Latin America, India, China, and so on. And so we can say finally that the world of art is truly global. One example of this is the number now of biennales that we see, especially in Asian countries, but in also Havana, Johannesburg, in Taipei, in Guangzhou, now Shanghai, next year Yokohama, and so on. And these are, you know, sometimes very heavy institutional, but they are also temporary and can show, you know, the nature of the change in movement. So I think this is an interesting moment that we are in right now. And, you know, network means using these new technologies of communication for two purposes. One purpose is to allow artists to travel, to meet each other, and to exchange ideas. The other purpose is, for me, even more interesting. It is to use these technologies themselves as the medium for artistic production. So, for example, using radio, or using fax, using video conferencing, and telephone systems, postal systems, as the medium for the production of artistic works. What this means when we use these technologies is that the artist loses control over the artwork, and the artwork takes on a kind of intelligence of its own that is bigger than any one of the contributing artists. So each artist, and the artist could also be a member of the audience, is contributing some piece, some part of the overall idea, but does not have the final say over how that piece will fit with the others or will be seen
mm-hmm.
by others.
Yeah.
In fact, it might even be erased.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is, I think, has interesting implications about the nature of human subjectivity
mm-hmm.
and the nature of the global community.
Yeah.
So what interests me is to produce, you know, networking projects that can continue this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Okay. Enough for tonight.
Ah.
Yeah, so have a good treat.
I would just like to send my warm greetings to your listeners.
Yes, please. So
and
now we one, two, three, four, five persons here.
And everyone who's listening out in
and
the
also
world
we have more
network.
Listeners.
Very good.
Yeah. And from now on we will have DJ programs,
yes.
talks, and also another interviews to Moscow.
Ah,
yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. Okay, I'll call you again, and see you soon.
See you soon.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye tonight.
Bye-bye.